Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Why was the tax collector's prayer better than the Pharisee's? Because the tax collector actually made a connection with God, but the Pharisee only made a connection with himself. Tax collectors were despised by the Jewish community in Palestine. They collaborated with the occupying Roman forces by collecting taxes from fellow Jews, and they often collected more than the law required, pocketing the extra. The Pharisee was just the opposite. These were the most respected members of the Jewish community, the elite, the undisputed religious leaders of the nation. And yet, Jesus praises the tax collector's prayer and criticizes the Pharisee's prayer. Through the centuries, in fact, the tax collector's simple prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, has been taken up as a complete summary of Christian spirituality. There are even cases of monks who made this prayer the only words that they spoke, and in so doing, reached the heights of sanctity. And this prayer makes a connection with God because it recognizes two things. First, it acknowledges God's great quality in relation to fallen humanity, which is his mercy. The word mercy actually comes from misericors, which is a combination of miser, which means wretched or miserable, and cor, which is heart. Literally, it means to take someone else's wretchedness into one's own heart. And that's what God does with us. And the second thing is that the tax collector's prayer recognizes his need for that mercy. He accuses himself of being a sinner, someone who has selfishly abused God's gifts, and instead of loving his neighbor, used his neighbor. The Pharisee's prayer shows no knowledge either of God's mercy or his need for God. Rather, it's an exercise in narcissism, in self-admiration. God wants to connect with us, but he can only do so if we let him. And we can't really let him if we don't think we need him. In 1945, C.S. Lewis, who authored the Narnia books, among others, published a fascinating and disturbing novel called The Great Divorce. And this novel tells the story of a middle-class Englishman who had a dream. In this dream, he travels first to hell, which is depicted as a boring, gray, and unpleasant suburb where the neighbors are always gossiping. Then he gets on a bus and drops him off on the outskirts of heaven, which is depicted as a beautiful countryside with a gigantic, magnificent castle in the far distance. And when he gets off the bus, he's met by a guide who explains the place and the meaning of the entire journey. And while they're walking, they see many different people, and the guide explains who they are. And at one point, they see a queen and her entourage. The queen herself is very, very, very beautiful. Her face glows. Her movements are graceful. Her smile is as bright as the sun. And she's surrounded by a crowd of admirers, each one overflowing with joy and health, dressed in finery and filling the air with laughter and song. And this entire group is heading toward that castle in the distance. The narrator, thinking that she must have been a famous prime minister, because this is England, or an empress, but his guide explains that on Earth, this lady was actually a very poor, very poorly educated, and simple in appearance maid. She spent her life scrubbing floors and washing dishes, serving everyone around her with never a moment to herself. But through all those years, she stayed close to God in prayer, and she always looked for ways to help ease the sufferings of those around her. So like the tax collector, she accepted her humble condition, acknowledged her need for God, and trusted that in his mercy, he would take care of her. And that's exactly what he did. She humbled herself, and as Jesus promised, she was therefore exalted. Today's gospel passage is actually the second time in Luke's gospel that Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." So, the Lord must really want us to get that message. But even so, it's not really an easy message to get. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable thought he was doing great. Everyone else thought so too. He went to the synagogue every Saturday. He prayed his prayers. He didn't commit any big or scandalous sins. He really thought he was really on track to get a gold medal from God. But as the gospel passage tells us, he wasn't. In fact, he was heading in the completely wrong direction. It's easy to be blinded by spiritual sins like arrogance and vanity, which the Pharisee in today's gospel passage exhibited. The tax collector's sins were more obvious, easier to recognize. He cheated and extorted and bribed, and those were the sins that you could see. But how can we recognize the sins we can't see? Christ's parable tells us exactly how, and that is, by looking at our thoughts about other people. Every person in the world is loved by God. Jesus died to offer salvation to every single person, and his love and his mercy has no limits. And as Christians, we're called to the same universal respect and love, even for the people who get on our nerves, who let us down, who may make our lives miserable. If we look into our hearts and discover that we don't have that universal respect, that maybe we entertain vindictive or self-righteous thoughts, and if we look at our actions and discover that we play favorites or that we take pleasure in criticizing others, if we see that, then thanks be to God. Because then we will know that we haven't been blinded yet. And so we'll be able to pray just like the tax collector, aware of our need for God's mercy and confident that his mercy will never run out.